Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Start up, start up. Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, start up, start up. They making noise. Start up. Start up, start up, start up, start up, start up.
Episode 292. It's the Brooklyn Boys Podcast.
Another palindrome.
Yes, it is. Do we do something special for palindrome days?
No, I just mentioned it, but we mentioned it at 282, so I'm mentioning it at 292.
I mean, maybe we should give something away.
A race car?
A contest.
Just give away a race car.
Why not? My God, we don't have a budget here. All 292 episodes deep, and we still don't have a damn budget to, like, do cool giveaways, flyaways, trips, money, cash. Come on.
We're not
cash
at that point
money.
Yet. Dude, I'm still trying to build my TikTok account. Everything is in stages.
Wouldn't it be great to just give a slice of cash?
Yeah, listen, if Mark Cuban wants to invest in a podcast, I'll take his money.
I mean, not to be, you know, like a, how do I explain it? Like a hokey radio, you know, a lot of radio stations. I mean, that's what we do in radio. I mean, and we don't want to be radio. We want to be a podcast.
We've given away tickets. We've given away show tickets. We've done some giveaways.
Yeah, I know, but we need something. I mean, cash is king, right? Cash is universal. You give away tickets for a show, you got to live in the New York area.
Yeah, we don't have the clout. You know, I mean, we give away movie tickets. If we had a movie sponsor, we give away AMC tickets.
I think we need a bank to jump on board because banks have cash.
Do they? I don't, but not to like throw around.
I mean, that's all they are, cash. They're in the business of cash.
We need a rich person who's like, I got nothing to do with my money. You know?
Make a donation?
Yeah, like Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg bought Instagram, right? He made an investment. To my knowledge, he doesn't own any podcasts. And if he does, don't tweet me. I don't care. Or X me.
Don't X.
I'm just saying, like, he could, you know, does he have a Brooklyn podcast?
Yeah. By the way, I'm not not on board with X.
By the way,
I'm always going to say tweet. Don't X me. That sounds so fucking stupid.
It does. But here's the thing. My dad used to say things that he was used to, and I would make fun of him. Right? Like when he was a kid, right now, what is it? Ultra, Supreme, whatever the high gas is. Each company calls it something different. But when my father was younger, it was called high test.
High test. Yeah, my father called it high test as well.
Right. So my father would be like, fill it high test. I'm like, Dad, the kid's 20. He doesn't know what you're talking about. He's like, hey, he knows what I'm talking about. So I feel like I don't want to turn into there's a lot of things about my dad I want to be, but I don't want to be that guy who's like, I'm going to still call it high test. But I feel like it's still Twitter. But does that make me my father?
No, because no one's Xing. Because X sounds stupid.
Well, the thing is, if you could tweet on X, I could like meet you in the middle, right? But Twitter was about a bird flapping its wings.
Yeah.
And like the whole point of tweeting was like, the bird goes, tweet, 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 and you're like spitting out little random thoughts on Twitter.
Yeah.
Right? It made sense. X is like X is like for treasure, but X is usually like the wrong answer on Family Feud. It's usually a negative.
Of course.
Now, I'm wearing an X-Men shirt right now because I did an X-Men podcast.
Yeah, but on Instagram, they have the X, the big X. When you X somebody out, that's one of the graphics. Every X is usually a negative.
On your computer, X is to close a window.
Yeah.
But it has nothing to do with social media. Like, his kid's name is like X527X or something stupid. But X doesn't make any sense to me. So it's still Twitter. I told you, I didn't upgrade the app on my phone. So my app still says Twitter, has the Twitter logo. He hasn't figured out how to shut that down on me yet. So
Do you ever get caught up with viral videos where you see a classic video and it's just like, oh, this is just so great. And you just reshare it.
You just mean like videos, like you're scrolling.
No, but like you scroll through. No, sometimes old viral videos come up in my feed and I don't know where they come from. A classic.
Right.
Well, a classic one just showed up and I usually have a list of people that are on my, you know, and you're on that list of like people that I'll send funny shit to on Instagram. It's an Instagram reel, right? So the thing is, half the time you're like, why'd you send me this? Or what? I saw this already. Why would you think I didn't see this?
Are you saying you in general? Or you specifically
me? No, you
me?
Say that to me. You're the only person that responds negatively when, and sometimes it's, I sent it to you just because it's a classic. It's funny.
No. Sometimes I don't understand if there was an angle. I don't. It's okay.
There doesn't have to be an angle to everything I send. Sometimes it's just dumb shit.
But sometimes you're like, you send me a video and you're like, did you notice the car in the background? I'm like, no, I wasn't looking at the car. Or you're like, did you see the pizza place in the background? I'm like, no, I was watching the video. Sometimes there's a reason you send me. Like the
yeah, but if there's a reason I send it to you, I would say it. Here's why I'm sending this to you.
You have never sent me words with a video. You've never sent an explanation.
Because I just send you dopey videos just because. Because if there was a reason to it, I would say, hey, by the way, here's why I'm sending this to you.
If you and I were in the same room and you pulled out your phone, you're like, Brody, look at this. And I saw it. Wouldn't I just at a normal conversation say, oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's funny. So when you send me something I saw, I go, yeah, I saw it. It's terrific.
No, but usually you preface it with saying, why are you sending this to me? I saw this already.
No. You can't find one time I wrote that.
I sent you something right now. It's classic.
Yeah.
And it's awful, but
is it more racist?
No.
Awful from the 70s when people said awful shit.
No. This happened. This is I'm going to play it right now on the podcast because I still can't believe this happened in real life, but it's a viral video that is so uncomfortable, but you laugh at it anyway. It's so fucking funny.
Is this fucking that chicken?
Hold on. No.
Oh, okay.
It was a sad story, and people took advantage of a really horrible situation. A couple of years ago, if you remember that flight that was landing in San Francisco or wherever, it was the Malaysian flight. Which was the one that I don't know if it disappeared or crashed. What was the issue with that aged Malaysian flight?
It wasn't a Malaysian flight. It was Asiana flight 214.
Oh, it was the Asiana flight. Yes.
Whatever the case, it was an Asian Airlines that crashed. Right. They were looking for names of passengers.
Correct. So this news station, a local news channel in San Francisco, went on the air and started naming the pilots. And by the way, there's video accompaniment on the screen of the names spelt out as you're hearing the woman read them. You must have seen a lot of you saying, I saw it already, Scary, but it's just so funny. And I still can't believe that this got past the fact checkers.
Someone got fired.
These are allegedly the names of the pilots that were on board.
We have new information now also on the plane crash. KTVU has just learned the names of the four pilots who were on board the flight. They are Captain Sum Ting Wong, Wee Tu Lo, Ho Li Fook, and Bang Ding Ao. The NTSB has confirmed these are the names of the pilots on board Flight 214 when it crashed. We are working to determine exactly what roles each of them played during the landing.
By the way, you're lying. She comes right on the air and says the NTSB has confirmed. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Well, there's several problems wrong with that.
Well, here's the thing. Somebody not on the air found the story, and in the story it said it was confirmed by the NTSB. They just took it and ran with it.
It's a rip and read. But the thing is, you don't do your proper research when you're putting a story on television.
The talking heads on this particular network aren't really news people. They're just pretty people in front of a camera. A real case, like a news network.
No, this was a local. This was a local channel. I'm pretty sure.
It's local with its pretty people come on and they're like, "Hey, I'm Bob."
It was a local San Francisco TV affiliate.
Covered that, yeah.
And so anyway, they went right on the air with it, and the names on the screen are spelled out. I mean, it's there. But okay. Listen, to this day, I can't. Every time I see that video. I'm like, I cannot believe that this got past everyone. Someone got fired that day, for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, you think some intern like said, "Oh, here's the names, just came across the wire."
Never an intern. No intern would be trusted with that. There was, "Oh, we fired an intern."
So that's even worse than a seasoned veteran in the newsroom. It got past them. How does anyone not see some of the jokes?
Somebody had to type that in the teleprompter. They didn't get it.
It went past my point is it went past several filters. It went past the person who collected the story into the teleprompter person, probably a supervisor beyond that, and then the anchor reading it, dummy. I mean, you could have put the kibosh on it right there on television. You'd be like, "You know what? Let's cut away to something else. Let's really get confirmation first." I mean, they could have. There was probably 3-4 lines of defense that all failed.
100%. 100%.
We too low.
I mean,
something bang ding ow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And dude, you don't think Holy Fook would have gotten her? You didn't think she would have questioned it?
The fact that on the screen it's Fuk and she pronounced it Fook. Is it? Let me look at the video again.
Holy spell. What are the spellings of these names? And it takes an awful human being to just capitalize on tragedy and call that in and try.
I don't know if it makes you a horrible person, but here's the thing: it's written HOLEE. That's normal. Holy, there's a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown called Holy.
Right, that makes sense. But Fuk, Fuk.
Wait, why would you pronounce Fuk? Now here's the thing: on the screen that we're seeing, it says Fuk. But was it spelled F-O-O-K phonetically on her teleprompter?
I don't know. Well, no, it wasn't.
Because why would you look at F-U-K and say Fook?
We're overanalyzing this. I just thought it was a funny throw. I'm like, man, sometimes you get a classic. And that is a classic.
The plane crash landed or skidded on the runway and caught fire.
That's right.
There's a picture of the plane and it's this burn holes.
And those were the four pilots.
I'll tell you what, I'm getting a lot of videos in my feed. So if you remember the comedian Norm Macdonald, who was on SNL for many years.
Sure.
He was fired from SNL because at the time, I think it was Dick Ebersol was the executive producer of it wasn't Lorne Michaels. And so Dick Ebersol was friends with OJ and some big shots at NBC were friends with OJ. But I think it was Dick Ebersol who was a big shot at NBC. And he was friends with OJ. And Norm Macdonald used to do the Weekend Update in the mid 90s when all the OJ trial happened, all that. And Norm Macdonald was brutal to OJ. Like Weekend Update was like 80% OJ jokes. It was a lot of OJ jokes, like brutal, funny, hilarious. If you find that funny. Well, he was asked by Ebersol, I think, and the network heads, but mostly Ebersol, if I'm correct. "Hey, cut it out with the OJ jokes. He's a friend. He hasn't been proven guilty yet. You know, let's, you know, stop. Don't do them anymore." So, you know, Norm Macdonald. Norm Macdonald doesn't listen to authority. Norm Macdonald then went on and did like a whole Weekend Update of OJ jokes. Just brutal. And they fired him. And he was gone, banned from SNL for, I don't know, 15 years maybe?
Replaced by Colin Quinn right then, you know. He took
was it Colin? Was Colin Quinn next?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Yeah. So There's a lot of video on the internet of his OJ jokes. Plus, he did OJ jokes in his stand-up.
I saw a few this week.
He did OJ jokes on late night television whenever he was a guest. You know, anything with OJ? He did an ESPN thing where he's, you know, he's given a speech to the new Heisman Trophy winner. Anyway, so because OJ died, he's popping up in my feed like crazy. Yeah. And every time I watch one, it changes my algorithm. So most of my algorithm is Norm McDonald jokes. Not even about OJ anymore. Just Norm McDonald jokes. Yeah. He was such a brilliant, fuck the institution. I don't care I'm not supposed to say that. I'm going to say it. Comedian. If you like a comedian who doesn't play by the rules, Norm McDonald is your guy.
Yeah.
I want you guys slice this. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look up when he was on Conan O'Brien. What was the woman's name from Melrose Place? She was one of the stars of Melrose Place. Let me Google
Tiffany Amber
quick.
Thiessen?
No. Hold on one second. I'll tell you right now. Hold on.
Was she on Melrose?
Norm McDonald, Conan O'Brien, Melrose Place. I'll tell you who it was real quick. It was Courtney Thorne Smith.
Uh-huh. Another three-named person.
Yeah. So Google Conan O'Brien, Norm McDonald, Courtney Thorne Smith. So, you know, like a lot of times now with talk shows, they have one guest and then they leave and the next guest comes out. Back in the, from, I don't know, maybe 2000 and prior.
Yeah.
When a guest would come out, another guest would come out and you'd move over.
Just move over and, right. And then that was like the Tonight Show, Johnny Carson did that, Jay Leno.
Like, right. So Conan used to like have them leave, but Norm said, I'd like to stay for this next segment. So, you know, Conan's a friend of Norm's. He's like, sure, you could stay.
Move over.
And he harassed in a funny way the movie she was promoting, the people in the movie. Brilliant. It's one of the funniest late night talk show interviews you've ever seen. Norm MacDonald on Conan O'Brien. I want to say like 94, 95, but it's classic. And you'll see if it hasn't popped up on your feed, it should have. But go look that up.
Yeah.
Oh, Norm MacDonald. That's great. A legend. A legend.
In SNL. And by the way, SNL, I said it once before, I'll say it again. This last week's episode with Ryan Gosling was so funny. Don't miss it. The clips are on YouTube or Hulu.
Did you say it prior? I don't remember you saying it.
Maybe I didn't say it on Slice Time earlier. The Beavis and Butthead sketch has gone worldwide viral. It's got like 9-10 million
views. I don't think they're watching it in Moscow, but okay.
Whatever it is. Well, Moscow. Then whatever it is, United States viral. That viral. Makes it even more impressive.
It's popular. People
it's
are watching
so
it.
It's so funny. You got to watch it.
I'll tell
right?
you what there and, was this weekend on
and,
SNL.
And a lot of people, and it was because Ryan broke character.
They broke character
at
the whole
every
show.
Sketch. And when they break and make the other actors break, like Heidi Gardner,
by the
who
way,
never
Lord
breaks.
Michaels hates that.
He hates it, but it's better for ratings and better for his show.
Yes,
and it shows. You know what it also displays? It shows it's real, it's live, and it's what people want today.
Yes,
people want to see that because it's like, oh my God, and it makes it that much funnier. So I would have to disagree with Lauren on that.
Hold on. It's only good if it happens once a season or like to each or twice. If like the problem is like Jimmy Fallon and Horatio Sanz would break every sketch. Like every episode, Horatio Sanz would come out and go, "Hi, I'm your guest station." Horatio Sanz could not keep a straight face even before he delivered the lines. And Jimmy would crack up because Horatio Sanz was cracking up.
Right.
So sometimes it ruined the sketch. Most of the time, if they, like this week, genuinely, it was hilarious.
It was funny and
because
clever sketches.
She knew she couldn't, it was Heidi Gardner was the host of the, right? She didn't want to turn around because she knew what they looked like. She knew the faces they were making. Like that I knew, like, it's just too funny not to laugh.
Even the opening, the cold open with Kate McKinnon, she was in it. You know, all the physical comedy. It was so funny when she was like under his crotch.
I'm not a huge fan of that sketch.
She was trying to get, but still, it was
a weird cold opening because it's a middle of the show sketch.
Yeah, I know, right. And they broke from what they normally do. All right, we got to take a break. We're way over.
All right. Well, you keep talking.
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast. We will be right back.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybun, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to talk about what you and I did together this week.
We do.
Skiri tells me last week, he says, "Hey, David, listen, I got invited to this ultimate thing." If he described it any better, it would have been like, I'm going to the David Brody fantasy party, but you're not invited. That's basically what he did. Called me up and he says, "Hey, listen, I got invited to this 86 Mets dinner." 86 Mets, if you're a Mets fan, that's the only World Series they've won in the past 40 years. And to us, it's a big deal. He says, "I got invited to this 86 Mets dinner. It's to honor Dwight Gooden, who's one of their greatest pitchers of all time. They're retiring his number on Sunday. I'm going next Saturday. I can't take anybody. Just thought I'd let you know." And I'm like, "Oh, well, I'm happy for you. That's great."
Did we discuss this on last episode? How I told you about it? Did I tell you on the podcast?
Yeah. Maybe.
I'm not sure if I did or not. Anyway, I
was very jealous, but happy for him. I wasn't.
And did not really disclose it to me. You kept it to yourself the whole time.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. I'm not going to be like, "You fuck, you're not taking me."
Well.
So Skiri calls me up.
On Saturday.
Saturday afternoon and says, "Remember that thing? I just got told I could bring a plus one. You want to go?" So I thought about it for 4 seconds and I said, "Yeah, I'm going. Absolutely." So I said, what I always say, "Hey, Skiri, what are you wearing?" "Oh, no, I'm throwing a shirt with some jeans, maybe some shoes."
Pause. By the way, let the record show.
The record shows,
that I invited David Brody, and he was the first person in my mind to invite to an event. Yes. Okay, because the Slices are always accusing me, "You're always doing shit without Brody. When are you going to call Brody?"
Hold on. I had a great time, admittedly. But there is a difference between inviting me to a free thing you were invited to and saying, "Hey, Brody, do you want to go to Costa Rica with me and my boys? Well, hey, Brody, we're going to a $500 a person steak dinner."
But the thing is, you don't exist in that world. It doesn't make any sense for you to go to those things.
Because you don't invite me in that world.
You
I
would never go
friends.
To those things. I'm giving you
friends.
Something. I am giving you a grand slam David Brody approved event.
100%.
The event of a 100%. Lifetime. Probably one of the top 10 things you probably could do in life is go to this event. Well,
it was fun.
Maybe top 20.
It was a fun night. But here's the thing. You brought up that the Slices are going to say you never invite Brody to
things. So I finally invited you, but I invited you to something that I thought of you first for because it made the most sense for you. I'm like, there's no way I can go to this and have David Brody not be my plus one.
Right. Hey, that's also why you invite, because I said to you, I thanked you like 11 times, but I said to you, Skiri, you're like, "Brody, you're the first person I thought of." I said, "Skiri, think about this. If you had invited anyone else you know besides me to this thing,
it wouldn't have made
I would have killed you. After we go to the World Series together, we go to playoffs together. I'm your Mets fan guy."
Right.
So I appreciate it. Anyway.
Why do you have the problem with the dress code?
So Skiri says, "I'm going to throw on a shirt, button-down shirt, maybe some shoes." I said, Scary, don't Brooklyn Industrial.
Come on, man.
So I said, don't do the jacket. He goes, if I do a jacket, it'll be over a regular shirt, no tie. I'll be casual. So I said, Scary, I don't want to wear a jacket tonight. It's cold. It was like 40 degrees. I said, if I have to wear a sport jacket, I got to wear a coat over the jacket. It'll be cold. I'd rather just wear a jacket over a nice shirt. Yeah, you're right. I don't know. I got a lot of shirts. I got to figure something out.
Right.
So, of course, uh-huh. I show up and Scary's wearing a jacket. What kind of jacket was it, Scary?
It was Brooklyn Industrial.
Yes, it was.
It was a red, it was a maroon jacket, but I was very casual. The rest of me was casual. I wore a button-down shirt tucked in with jeans, okay? Yeah. So jeans and a jacket. But I wanted to dress it up a little bit because I figured, you know, Dwight Gooden's going to have a jacket on. I got to have a jacket. I'm going to probably take a picture with the guy. I want us both to be in jackets. So yeah. And we look good together in jackets.
You dressed for Dwight Gooden.
But there's no problem with that. Anyway.
So I didn't wear a jacket. I wore a button-down shirt and jeans. No jeans, colored pants. It was at a Hill Country Barbecue, which if you're ever in Manhattan, go to Virgil's and also go to Hill Country Barbecue. Mm-hmm. Those are our two favorites of the casual barbecue places. Go downstairs and it's all Mets players. It's all like, oh my God, there's Tim Tebow. Oh my God, there's
Howard Johnson. Oh my God. Roger McDowell, Rafael Santana, Jesse Orozco, next. Gary Sheffield.
Brody, you got to calm down. You're too excited.
Well, yeah. Like, oh, my God. Can I say this? No, stop right there.
Yeah.
We're in a room where there's only 120 people. It's a private room.
Yeah, it was more than that.
150?
Maybe, yeah.
The point is, you're going to be there for 4 hours. You just walked in.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're going to get FaceTime with these people if you want. It's one of those mingle events. No one's seated. Everyone's kind of hanging around.
Right, everybody's walking around, right.
People are hanging at the bar. So you know it's the kind of environment that's going to lend itself. You don't have to be a fucking super crazy, whacked out fan to enter the room and within 30 seconds, you're like, oh my God, there's Howard Johnson. Howard Johnson's over there. I'm like, Brody.
It wasn't like that.
Look, Brody, lower your voice, Brody. We just got here. You're going to have a chance, if you want to probably have a conversation with the guy. And you ended up talking to him.
Here's the thing.
Brody, dial it down. Just bring it back. We'll just walk it back.
Right.
Let's just get settled in. We haven't been in the room 30 seconds and your eyes are darting across the room. There's Tim Tuffel. Oh, what's going on over there? I'm like, it's going to be okay.
I was fanboying.
Wasn't like they were coming out of a limo and entering a venue 100%. And you had 2 seconds 100%. To shoot your shot.
I'll tell you why I was acting that way. Number one, you don't recognize half the players. You don't.
Well, I recognized him and I recognized Hojo.
Okay. So I was kind of like saying, Scary, look at that. You don't know who that is, but that's who that is. Second of all, I wanted to show you how excited I was and how appreciative I was to be there. So I was excited to be there, and I wanted you to know I wasn't taking it for granted. I wasn't like, I'll go to the Met thing with you. Oh,
yeah,
look,
I know.
I wanted to show appreciation. So anyway, we're there maybe 10 minutes, and we're mingling, whatever. First of all, we first walk in the door. This young girl, she's like 19, 20. She's taking the checking your names at the door.
She's 16. She's in high school looking at college.
Oh, right.
She's looking at colleges.
She also
towers over both of us at like
6'1". Yeah, she was like, very, very nice girl. Anyway, I think her hair was longer than I'm tall. So she's like, oh my God.
Big fan.
Because big fan. Scary goes, I'm checking in. My name's Scary Jones. And she goes, oh my God, Scary Jones. Oh my God. Now, she's 16. So I'm figuring, you know, she looked young, even if she was 18, 19, whatever. I haven't worked at the radio station in 2 years, almost. I'm just going to like, you know, chill. So Scary does the very nice thing. He says, and this is Brody from the show. And she's like, oh my God, I got to listen every day. Oh my God, I love you guys. So we took pictures, whatever. It was very nice. For some reason, she posted the picture with Scary and tagged Scary and did not post the picture with me. But I'm not mad at her for it. It is what it is. My point is, we met, I don't know, Scary, how many people that weren't athletes did we get to meet?
Quite
20,
a few.
30, 40,
quite
50?
Quite a few, yeah.
Almost all of them have no clue I don't work there anymore.
Right.
No clue.
Because they don't listen every day.
I hope you guys at this point know I don't work there anymore.
No, don't, they do. Oh. People that listen to this podcast and that follow us every day to day, and listen to the 15-minute morning show, those people are all fully aware. And maybe people that text the radio station for the most part. Because those people are active listeners.
I know, but
everybody else, the general public, 17 yeah. million people who we've spoken to over the last 29 years, mm-hmm. Most people do not know that you do not work with the morning show anymore, Brody. So in my opinion, my take on it is, go with it. Who cares?
Oh, I went with it. Don't get me wrong.
But this has happened 5 times before at different events that we went to.
This was a bulk thing.
Even Gandhi's art show. And I'm like, Brody, they don't know you don't work there anymore. Most people don't listen to every show every day. 100%. Most people are background noise and they listen for 20 minutes. Continue. Go ahead.
There were a lot of people there who worked for the Mets. For sports companies.
They don't know.
Hold on. In the words of Scary Jones, dial it down a bit.
Okay, continue, Brody.
People were offering me all kinds of things. It's my favorite radio station. You guys want to come to a game. You want to come to this. You want to come to that.
Great.
Here's my card.
Yeah.
I call it a lie of omission. I wasn't going to be like, nah, you don't want to invite me to the game because I don't work there anymore. I was just like, yeah, cool, no problem.
I fail to see a problem there, right? So great.
I don't see a problem either.
Good. So roll with it. Who cares? You're not doing a bad thing by not admitting it. Are they trying to say they're only going to invite you because you work with the station? No.
No, they didn't utter those words.
They know you.
My point was their enthusiasm for me, I wasn't going to dash it. So speaking of enthusiasm, I go over to the bar. Scary's like, oh, I got a drink. We got drink tickets. I never use my drink tickets. But I went over to had like a big jug of water mm-hmm. with a spigot.
Spigot? How do you spell spigot?
S-P-I-G-E-T?
Yeah.
I-T, spigot?
Yeah.
It's a good question. So I'm over there and I turn the spigot knob and, by the way, it's O-T. S-P-I-G-O-T. And I turn the spigot and the water's filling up my cup and it's very slow water. It's like, it's not like,
right.
It's going to take like 40 seconds to fill the cup up. So I'm standing there holding the cup under the spigot and I'm at the end of the bar where the cooler of the pitcher of water, the big thing of water is. And I'm on the long side of the bar all the way to the right. At the corner where I'm standing, the bar goes straight, right? It makes a turn and goes straight and it's maybe 5 feet wide. Dwight Gooden, the guy that I'm most excited to see, one of the greatest pitchers in Mets history, getting his number retired the next day, he walks up next to me. But he's on the right side of the bar, like around the little turn the corner. So I'm staring at the left side of his face. He's right there.
And what do you do?
Well, I stare at him, and I'm like, if he turns to me, I'm going to say hi, but I'm not going to interrupt him because he's trying to get the bartender's attention.
Yeah.
And as I'm staring at him, I realize my cup has filled up and more than filled up and is now overflowing onto the floor.
Your cup has runneth over.
Runneth over. And then as my shoes are getting wet, I go, oh, shit. And I turn it off and I go, oh, shit. He turns to see what's going on. And now I'm like, I don't know what to say to him because I've covered myself in water.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like nod and smile like, hi. And I walk away.
Like a fangirl.
Nah. Which was not the most embarrassing thing that happened to either one of us that night.
Which we'll get to next.
Oh, can't wait.
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast with Scary and Brody.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, okay, I'll just take a fall. I'll take the fall on the next one. Go ahead.
Okay.
So we were lining up for pictures.
Well, I took a picture with Dwight Gooden. We both did.
But later at the end, there were more formal pictures on the stage under the good lighting. And right. I'm like, I want to fucking go on there. So I went up on the stage. You were right behind me.
Yeah.
And I posed for a picture with Dwight. And then I started exiting the stage.
Yeah. Now, hold on. Before you say anything, I'm next in line.
Brody's, yeah. So Brody
big
was,
moment, yep. I go up to stand next to Dwight Gooden.
Yep.
Our friend Harlan has my camera.
Harlan, the best. He's the best.
Harlan's the best. Shout out, Harlan. Anyway, he's about to take my picture. He takes the picture. And as he's taking it, Skiri is going down the two steps at the edge of the stage to go back to the floor of the restaurant.
And now keep in mind, it's only two steps, but the second step, didn't know this, was not attached to the first step. It was put there so people didn't have to make a long stride down to the ground. So it was kind of like plywood with a little carpeting on it. It was a faux step. It was a fake step.
So I'm staring at the camera. And my goodness, staring at the camera.
And I'm staring at my phone, gloating in the. I'm in the afterglow as I'm not watching where I'm walking.
So as I'm like making sure I'm smiling, I'm looking at the camera the right way. I'm all nervous. How many chances am I going to get?
And I take one step down at that.
And I hear,
I step down once. And as I step, the step comes apart from the stage and rolls forward log roll. Right. And I fly backwards.
Yep.
And my back hits the top step of the stage, and my phone goes flying. I land like on my fucking back.
The only thing that saved Skiri from serious injury, the red jacket.
The red jacket.
Okay.
By the way, side note, I went for a workout today and everything seems to be fine because.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. You don't need to mention where you went for the workout.
Not letting you know. Anyway, so things are good. I have a little bit of a bruise though and a little bit of a pain, but anyway.
So I say to Dwight, because now we're both looking. I'm like, Skiri, you okay? He's like, oh yeah, I'm getting my phone. He's only concerned about getting his phone. And I'm like, I say, Dwight, he's my friend. Are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm like, okay. So when I get my picture back, it's Dwight looking off to his right as he's looking at Skiri fall in my picture. So my picture with Dwight Gooden has him looking off to the right, watching Skiri fall down the stairs.
Brody's only moment.
I wait 40 years. 50. What is 40 years since he to get a picture with him?
Yeah, and Dwight ruined. And Dwight's eyes are off to the left.
They're off to the right.
To the right. His right. Our left.
I went and looked at my picture. I'm like, let me look at my picture. And he's looking to the side. This Skiri's falling during the picture.
But lucky for you, you took a better picture with him earlier in the evening. So
yes, I took a better picture earlier. And then I asked him, I went back and I went and took another picture. But the point was, had it not been a casual event, that would have been my only picture. I would have been pissed.
You would have.
But here's the interesting thing. While Dwight was looking to the right to watch Skiri fall down the stairs, my eyes were locked on that camera the whole time. I never took my eyes off the camera, even though I heard the boom, boom, boom.
Oh, yeah, because you don't care about your friend.
After the flash went off on the camera, because it was a little
that's
dark,
when you started to get a little concerned.
Once the flash went off,
I was already on my feet. Three people helped me up, and two guys pulled cards on me and said, "I'm a lawyer. You need my help?"
I saw the bounce. And
I love how two guys come with their business cards, and they're extending their hands for me to get up. Oh, but instead they hand me a card. Hi, I'm a lawyer. Yeah. If you need anything,
hilarious. So Dwight must have turned his head when you went like that. I turned my head after the flash, so I saw the second bounce and the step move. So I saw you go boom, boom. I saw the second boom and the feet fly and the step move.
Yeah.
And then that's when I asked if you're okay.
I got to say.
But I didn't see the fall down, but he did because my pictures of him turning his head.
Thank God I was okay. I walked away. I laughed, but it was so embarrassing because it was.
If you had gotten hurt, Scary, let me just say this as your friend. The thing I would have remembered most about that night is that I got a picture with Dwight Gooden.
Wow.
I'm kidding. It would have been the water incident.
Yeah. So speaking of the Mets, this came up on the air on the big show a little earlier. And Brody, I want your opinion on
this. Okay. Do we want to talk about after what we talk about, the guy who tried to correct me?
The guy who tried to correct you at the
event? When I asked a question of the Mets.
Oh, is that okay? If you want to.
I'll get to that later. No, I'll get to it later. Go on.
No, you can if you want. I just
Because of who I am and where I used to work.
I know. Brody's a know-it-all. Like to- okay, here's the Brody's a know-it-all segment. He is. Brody. Don't challenge David Brody. That's the name of this.
Well,
he didn't know who he was fucking with, but go ahead.
Okay. So Howard Johnson played for the Mets. He won a World Series with the 86 Mets.
Yep.
But he also won a World Series with the 84 Tigers.
Right.
So the Tigers, after he won the World Series, traded him to the Mets. So I ask him a question. I say, hey, you know, you won the World Series in 1984. And before I could finish my thought, some guy in the back goes, he won in 86. Right. So I turn around and I go, he won in 84 with the Tigers, but thanks for the correction. You're wrong. And I got a big laugh. And Hojo pointed at me when he's right. Cause I know what I'm talking about. So yeah, don't correct me.
Yeah.
Don't,
but and Brody was right. In the middle of his question when the guy just jumped out. Lesson. Brody's never wrong.
No,
they didn't know who David Brody was.
It's
no, I know.
Wrong. David We're Brody. At a fan event for the 86 Mets. I'm there. You don't think I know what fucking year they won the World Series?
I know. But you know,
that's all.
I mean, in my head, when you said 1984, I was questioning it, but I didn't shout it out because I'm like, he must have won with another team before. So whatever. But people don't have that filter.
Okay, go on with your story.
And no, then this we'll is a quite. No, it's more of a quandary. But what?
Go ahead. Because I was going to tell you that the water was not my most embarrassing moment of the night, nor was you falling down the steps. So I'll tell that story later. But I want to hear what the quandary was.
So last week, if you recall. I don't know if I spoke about it on the podcast. Elvis invited me to the Mets game. And he's like, hey, let's go see a game. And I'm like, great.
That's right. Good seats behind home plate or whatever.
Yeah, with his husband, Alex.
Very exciting.
And then the game got rained out. And the tickets for that game, because several games got rained out because it was a bad stretch of weather.
Yep.
The tickets for that game were physically refunded as vouchers. It wasn't going to be like you're invited to this other makeup game. It was, you are now able to pick any tickets you want for the rest of the season, except for the Subway Series.
Right. Can't go to a Met Yankee game.
Right.
Right.
So basically, that was the end of that. And that was swept under the rug.
When you told me that.
That was swept under the rug. And that was like, we're good. That's
what did I tell you, though? The day before, that morning,
you
say, well, if it gets rained out, maybe the game will be tomorrow night. And I said,
this is convoluting the whole conversation.
No, it doesn't, not convoluted. Because I said to you, if it gets rained out, they can't make the game up. There's no more games left in the week.
Right.
So which means they're gonna have to reschedule. I said, you may be shit out of luck.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the crux of this conversation, is what you said. You said Elvis doesn't really owe you a game because it's said and done. But I'm like, but in my head, I'm like thinking like, wait a second. The intention was to hang out with me at a game. Let's go to a game. But if it got rained out and the money was refunded, maybe we'll use those vouchers for a future game, perhaps. Yeah, but
you know what? Elvis gets credit for trying to take you to a game. It's not his fault it got rained out.
But you're of the mind that that, okay, so we're not going to go to a game now. So that's it. That was
no,
a
I
one
feel
time.
Like he still should take you to a game. What I'm saying is,
right.
He doesn't have, he's not going to take you to a game.
Well, no.
In his mind, he's thinking, I don't owe you a game. I took you to a game.
Right. Well,
I bought the tickets.
It came up on the air. I asked it on the radio.
Slices, do you hear a similarity, Slices, where this is going?
Well,
go ahead.
So I said, does Elvis owe me a game? And because we couldn't go. And then the answer, well, Gandhi jumped right up and says, I hate to say this, because Elvis is like, I don't owe him a game. I owe him nothing. It was what it was.
He made an attempt to take you, is what he said.
And then whatever. It's, all right, maybe we will, maybe we won't, but we don't have to definitely reschedule. So Gandhi is like, yeah, he owes you a game. And then I was about to say, yeah, thanks, but... What came to my mind immediately was that, wait a second. If I say that he owes me a game, then someone somewhere down the road is going to say that I owe Brody a steak dinner.
100%.
So I said, no. Owe is a strong word. He doesn't owe me a game. I just thought that maybe we could get together. Anyway, it became...
Same thing.
I had
Elvis
to
can easily. Elvis can pull a Skiri and say, "What? I bought you tickets to a game. It's not my fault it got rained out. I made the attempt. I put forth the money. My intention was to take you and buy you the ticket, but the weather happened.
The only difference here is that I could say is you still got the experience of the steak dinner, and I did not get the experience of the game. So it's really not the same thing.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question. If Elvis says I'm going to take you to a game.
Yeah.
Right. And then at the last minute, he says, you know what? I'm not feeling well. I'm not going to go. I'm going to sell the tickets. I'm not going. But then a buddy that you were going to take or someone you post on Twitter, not going to the game tonight. Someone from the Mets calls you up and says, you know what? Come as our guest tonight. So you go to the game that night. Does Elvis get credit? Does Elvis get credit because he was going to take you and you wouldn't have gone to the game that night?
That's a separate invite.
What? You wouldn't have gone to the game that night except that Elvis was going to take you. So you got someone to buy you a ticket to the game only because Elvis was trying to take you. But then at the last minute, something happened. Now you know how it feels, you fuck.
However... Here's what Elvis did, because Elvis is the man. He said, I'm going to do one better.
Mm-hmm.
He goes...
Are you sure it's better?
No, because at the same... at that moment, Greg T, the Jersey kid, walked in from down the hall. He had heard the conversation. He came in.
Oh, yeah, because his show was over an hour earlier.
Right. So he jumped in the studio, live, on air, as we were having the conversation. And then Danielle got involved. He goes... talking about the Subway Series, it came up. And then Danielle was like, you know what? I'd like to go to a Yankee game. Yankee Mets? All right. So Elvis is like, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you, Danielle, Skiri, and Greg T, the four of us, we're going to go to the Subway Series game, one of the Subway Series games. So he's going to make it up to me. He doesn't owe it to me. I'm going to be very clear. He does not owe me a game. But the four of us are now going to go... probably see the Yankees play the Mets or the Mets play the Yankees at Yankee Stadium in July because the Yankees in Citi Field fall during our vacation.
Yeah.
So I'll probably be out of town.
Well, here's what I'll say. Very generous of Elvis.
Isn't that
very
great? A man of his word right there.
No, it's a man who decided to do something completely different.
Why?
So you had an opportunity to do a little bonding with Elvis. Well, you and Elvis go to a Mets game, right? It was your gift. Now... You're all getting it. You're not going to have Elvis time.
Oh, I don't need that.
No, you're going to have Greg T time now for 3 hours.
Yeah, but it's actually old friends, OGs, coming together to hang out for a night.
It'll be a great day.
And I'm okay with that. You kidding me?
It'll be a great day. I don't
necessarily need Elvis all to myself.
You didn't want to spend time with Elvis. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, you're not hearing that. You're putting words in my mouth.
That's what I heard.
No, I would have been fine either way, but... I'll take what I can get. And it's the goddamn Subway Series.
Okay, so with the three of you guys going with Elvis, who's responsible for telling him what's going on?
What do you mean? Oh, at the game?
Yeah.
No, Elvis follows baseball.
I'm kidding.
Oh,
my. I'm kidding. No, he knows baseball.
It's the Brooklyn Boys Podcast.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ugh, got that off my chest. But
hey, I saw something on Facebook. Two things I want to share with you. One was Facebook, one was Instagram. You know, I told you they have like quizzes. You know, I did like some of the number ones for you.
Yes.
So one of the ones that was on my Facebook page, I clicked it because I was, I'm an idiot. It said, I'm going to give it to you, Scary, very quickly. Name a state with no E in the name.
Name a state with no E. And it's not a trick question, right?
Dude, just name a state.
Name a state with no E, Montana.
Okay. The second one wrote New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Obviously stupid. But what am I supposed to do with that?
No, I'm just saying that's how stupid people are.
Yeah, yeah.
There's three E's in New Jersey.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. People are dumb. People are fucking idiots.
Yeah.
Some people.
That's my point.
I got to give a shout out to my boy, Jetski Brian. God love him.
Okay. It's jet ski weather soon.
Yeah, it is. And he's getting ready. He's unloading all the new Sea-Doos, the Sea-Doo jet skis.
Mm-hmm.
He went to go see the Bob Marley One Love movie a few weeks ago in theaters.
Okay. I think it streams as of next week.
Yeah, or maybe streaming now. It's very funny to me because when you think of Bob Marley and you think mm-hmm. of a movie like that, you think of people going to the film stoned, and there's a lot of stoners. I mean, obviously there's a lot of people that go that don't smoke, but you definitely know there's some stoners in that crowd.
I would imagine a couple, yeah.
Yeah, and Brian, very big stoner. He went to see the movie a few weeks ago, totally high, like off his rocker.
The white guy, okay.
He sits in the theater, watching it for about, he might have, you know, come a few minutes late because he's like, oh, it just started. So he sat down. Half hour later, the credits start rolling up the screen.
Was he watching Godzilla?
No.
And Kong?
It was playing in two different theaters, and he went into the theater where it was like more than halfway through. And he didn't
notice.
He didn't notice. He was like, huh? He goes, I guess it's a short movie. And he just left and he went back home. And then he realized the movie's well over an hour and a half, whatever. And he goes, so now he's going to watch it streaming because he didn't realize, it didn't occur to him he was in the wrong, he went to sit down in the wrong theater.
So he went to see One Love and saw like a Quarter Love.
Pretty much a Quarter Love. But my favorite is it didn't occur to him.
He figured he missed the beginning of the movie and all the trailers. He's like, oh, just hop in.
Yeah, just figured, you know, he figured that, you know, he missed 5 minutes. But man, and then it didn't register.
Drugs are bad.
I also think that he was so high, he lost concept of time. Because maybe that was like,
You know what? Maybe he saw the whole movie and just doesn't remember most of it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Hey, I went to the movies with the same people, by the way, with a kid maybe sitting in the back.
Oh, yeah. How'd that go?
Well, so we went to see Godzilla and Kong. I think that's the last movie we saw. Yeah. Yeah, the seat incident was at Dune 2, which was, you know. Anyway, we went to see Godzilla X Kong, however you want to pronounce it. And he was in the back seat this time. So total respect paid. I don't know if you heard the podcast.
By the way, it's called Godzilla Kong.
Well, there's an X there.
Doesn't mean anything. It's silent. I did the commercials for it.
Oh, all right. Anyway, Godzilla Kong. So I had a coupon for AMC theaters that I had used once before. It was for a free regular popcorn. So in the theater near me, it's a dine-in theater. They have waiter service. Now. Oh,
like an iPick?
I don't know. I've never been to the iPick. I know what it is, but yeah, they have waiter
service.
Same
idea. Anyway, same concept.
Well, they don't even have a concession stand.
Bougie theater.
Yeah, but it's not a bougie theater. The clientele is far from bougie. Anyway, so in this particular theater, you give them whatever coupons, you order your food, but you can get popcorn at the beginning, and there's a big counter, like with three ledges with heat lamps. You go over and you get your popcorn.
Okay.
But there's no one to give the coupon to that you got a free popcorn. So I told the ticket taker, he's like, whatever, man, just keep the coupon. I'm like, all right, great. So we go to, now on the coupon, it says, good for one free regular popcorn, or you can pay to upgrade to a large. Now, you know the popcorn scam, right? We've talked about this.
Of course.
They deliberately make the big popcorn only a little bit more money. So you go, I don't want the small, I get the medium. Then you go, geez, for a dollar more, I can get another fucking twice as much.
Yeah.
That's why it's called medium pricing. Is that what it is? There's a name for it.
I forgot the name of it.
Where you automatically were like, I'm going to get a small. And you're like, but the small is so small, I get the medium. And they make the large just a little bit more money, like $1.20. And you're like, trust me, the extra popcorn you get costs them less than $1.20. They're making more money. So I go up to the counter and I say to the girl, listen, I want to get a free popcorn, but I'm going to upgrade to a large. So just charge me, you know, whatever the difference is. I said, what's the difference between a medium and a large? Because there was a rotating board. It wasn't on the screen. So we wait for it. It's like $1.20. I said, okay, great. I'll take the large. So I give her the coupon and she takes the coupon. She looks at it. She reads it. She walks over to the popcorn, takes a regular popcorn cup, scoops it, and hands it to me. I said, no, I want the large. I don't want to pay the extra. No, this coupon is for a regular. I said, no, I understand that. But the coupon on the, look at the coupon right there in big letters, it says, you can pay to upgrade. Oh, I don't know how to do that. And she's staring at me. So I said, okay, but I want the large. So can you ring me up for a dollar?
Which, by the way, a coupon that you got for free anyway. You're just taking advantage of the system at this point.
Hold on. I want to pay for the large. I want to give them money. So I don't have a free, but I want to give them something.
Okay.
So she says, I don't know how to do it. And she's staring at me. So I said, do you think maybe you could ask someone? So she says, all right, hold on. And she goes and she's talking to a guy with a headset on and he can't hear her because his headset's on. And she's yelling and he takes his head. She's like, I got to ring up the car. And he takes the headphones off. Finally hears her. He says something to her, looks at the coupon. She comes back and she goes, okay, hold on. She gets the giant bucket of popcorn, brings it over to me. And I said, great. Here's my credit card. No, neither one of us knows how to ring it up. Just take it.
So now you can use it again next time.
Yeah. So I got the coupon back and I got a free large popcorn because she didn't know how to ring it up. So they're like, just take it. It's not worth my drama. I'm 18 years old selling popcorn.
It's like a beer. It's like a beer can on a string. Whoop, you pull it.
Yep. Give me that back.
Give it back.
So I got the coupon back.
That's awesome.
But it was like, I don't, she looked at me like, I don't know how to do that.
It's like when I bring the expensive bottle of wine to the BYOB restaurant with my friends. It's same concept. But I wait until the very end. And when we're all filled up on wine, when it's like, oh, we're at the end of the meal. Oh, you know what? I guess you don't want to open the Silver Oak or the Camus. I guess I'll take it back. I went back and forth three different times to the BYO, and I got you get the credit every time for bringing the expensive bottle. Because I brought the expensive bottle of wine. We were going to save it till the end, and we're talking about other things. And meanwhile, other bottles are being popped, other people's bottles.
What are you drinking? So why don't they say, "Why, whiskey? Where's your bottle?"
The third time, Anthony Falco got me. He's like, I see what you're doing.
Anthony Falco, is he Italian?
Nah, Jewish. Anthony Falco.
Give me both.
Of course you could. Scary. Yeah. I know the last three times we went out to Tutto Moro Mio and these restaurants, you brought the Silver Oak. And somehow it just got... Oh, Siri thinks I'm talking to her. Hey, Siri, stop. Because I said scary and it sounds like Siri. Okay, Siri started activating. So Falco's... So he knew he was on to my, you know, he was, where's the Silver Oak? Oh, okay. You know what? Bring it next time. You know, there's only so many bring it next times you get until
this time he's like, you know what?
We're going to lead with that one. We're opening the Silver Oak right now. You can't have the hook.
The other three times you brought your own wine.
Yeah.
Where was the bottle while everyone's putting out their bottles?
The thing is, those were 12 to 16 person dinners. So there was just an onslaught of bottles. There were bottles all over the table.
So just leave yours under the table in case anyone notices?
No, I put it on the table, but then I turn the label the other way when no one's looking. So,
You're turning into me.
That's a Brody move. Yeah, look up Silver Oak, dude. Silver Oak's expensive.
Let me check. What kind of wine is it? White?
Silver, red. Silver Oak. It's one of the California cab, yes. I believe it's California.
Silver Oak, California Cabernet.
Pretty sure. Anyway, it's like 70, 80.
Oh, whoa.
What, like $90, right? How much is that?
Finding it on wine.com for $100. Everywhere else? Dude, there's one here for $650 on Instacart.
No, dude, it was a $90 bottle of wine. I paid $90 for it.
All right, well, there must be a larger
which is
size.
Very, very expensive. So I figured...
Why would you bring a $100 bottle of wine...
Because I didn't want to spend money.
Bring your own Italian restaurant.
I didn't want to spend money, and it was the only one in my cabinet. So, and it was given to me as a gift.
Oh, it was the only one in your cabinet.
Yeah. So I said, "Fuck it." So I kept bringing it to these dinners, and they're like, "Oh, scary with the Silver Oak." Yeah, and then everybody else started.
And no one remembered.
Nobody remembered, and I went through three dinners that way, and then Falco caught me. He goes, "I know what you're doing there." He goes, "That's that same bottle you brought for the last two dinners. We never went through it."
Ah, you fuck.
He goes, "We're gonna start with that one." And he called the waiter over. Yeah, uncork this one first.
Good, you fuck. You got what you deserved.
The Broken Boys Podcast with Brody and Scary.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, I've been doing a lot of
dinners. That was a good story.
Dinners with my friends.
That wine story you told before the commercial break, hilarious. Yeah. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, you should definitely do it. Dude, I am turning into you.
Oh, good.
Earlier in the week, I went out with Dave, you know, Sex on the Way Dave.
Sex on the Way Dave, yeah.
Jet Ski Brian and Anthony Falco. Another dinner on another night to our buddy Sal's Pizza. They just rebuilt, by the way. Shout out to Sal's in North Bergen. An institute, but they burned down.
I think you mean an institution.
An institution, but yeah. They burned down.
An institute's a school.
And they rebuilt.
Okay.
And no, the fire didn't start from within the pizzeria.
No, wink, wink.
No, it was several stores away, and it burned down. And it was tragic to see it go because it's an icon. It's the only thing on that whole strip that looks like, you know, that looks like it's 50, 60 years old. I mean, it stood the test of time. Anyway.
And you.
So, yeah. So, we're having dinner at the bar, and then there was a birthday party going on at the table next to us. It was like a table of like six people. They celebrate the birthday with a huge, giant box of Rispoli pastries.
Oh.
Yeah, Rispoli. If you know, you know. Anyway. Here's the deal, Brody. The people, they celebrate, they have a few pastries, and they leave. They leave a big tip, and they walk out. They leave. Oh, and a couple of people took some of the cookies and the pastries to go. They boxed it up. So they boxed up what they wanted, and they left. Brody, not even kidding. There had to be no less than 30 pastries and cookies still in this box. It was one of those giant boxes.
On the next table.
On the next table. Sitting okay. there. So me and my friends are looking at it.
Oh.
My friends and I, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm excited right now.
I know.
I'm like, oh, there's cannolis in there. They left the cannolis behind.
Wait a minute. They took the gun, left the cannolis?
Exactly. You stole my joke, you dick.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to say
that. I was going there. Reference. Anyway, okay, all right. Thank you, Godfather. And the lobster tails. Dude, what?
Oh, these are pastries, in case you don't know. They're not lobster tails from lobster.
What animal would leave a lobster tail behind? And pinoli cookies, the seven layer, the rainbow cookies.
So fried like at City Field or no?
So we look left and we look right. Like,
yeah.
Fuck it. Let's go. So I lead the way. And as soon as I take a cannoli, my friends take pastries. And then the three, four of the tables that were still there got up and took some pastries from the box. Question. A, would you ever do such a thing?
I'm already on my way there to see if someone else did it.
Okay, thank you. Well, we put it up online as a poll, and more than half the people said, A, that's nasty. That's other people's food. They were manhandling it. And I'm like, no, it's all in your head, bro. It's all in your head.
Food. Why would anyone manhandle it?
I said, people think and they associate the fact that people were sitting around the cannolis meant that it has the cooties and it has their germs on it. Truth be told, people don't go licking the fucking food. They didn't touch. They took what they wanted and everything was left behind. So it was perfectly good condition. There was no disgusting thing about it. There was no cooties.
Except the fact that it's food, I don't see you normally doing that. The Scary Jones I know would have just ordered in, had like Uber Eats, send them another box.
I was going to say, they don't have Rispoli pastries at Sal's Pizza. I mean, that's the thing. It was a special treat. So I'm like, fuck this. I'm going in. But then other people argued, that was left for the staff. That was for the staff.
No, they didn't leave it for the staff because the staff would have come.
That's rude. That was rude of you, Scary. for taking those pastries, because how do you know what they were for? I'm like, I don't know. Fucking 15 minutes has gone by. The pastries,
no one's taking them.
No one's taking them. They're going in the garbage. And guess what? The waitresses and the bartenders came from around the bar after I got my grubby paws on those cannolis, and they did the same thing. So everybody got to eat. There was no shortage of food that night.
You know what's interesting? Some of the people say you can't eat that food. It's tainted, right? It's skankified.
Yeah.
But then they say leave it for the staff. Well, wait a minute. Why should the staff eat the food if it's skankified? Either it is skankified or it's not.
Because it's not good enough for me, but it's good enough for the staff.
So I have to imagine the people that were there eating, celebrating the party, right? Yeah. Their birthday, their pastries, are no more or less skanky than the people Scary goes to dinner with. Who's on Scary's table. Yeah. Then those skanky people he goes to dinner with would have been all their spit.
Yeah.
So there's no difference. I'll tell you, I my wife and I went to a bring your own.
Yeah.
In Jersey City. What's the place that, it's a two guys' names. It's like where the guy used to work. Vince, the guy who looks like you.
Yeah. Bin 14. What was the place?
What?
Bin 14.
No, it was two guys' names, like Mitchell and Mike.
Oh, it was Anthony David.
Anthony David, yeah. So we go there. We had a great night. Best pate I've ever had in my life. It was a long time ago. But we brought a bottle of wine, which it was red wine. I don't drink red wine normally. So my wife loves red wine, and there was maybe like an inch left of red wine. And my wife's like, I'm not going to take it. It wasn't expensive wine. Look at him. Let me take the bottle home. The cork was long gone. We don't know where the cork is. She didn't want to take it. And the people at the table, like behind us, they say, excuse us. We heard you say you're not going to finish that bottle. Can we have it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Why not?
So they took our bottle and finished the bottle.
Sure.
Then they went to, I saw them go up and get another table where someone left their bottle, and they went and took the bottle of wine from that table.
No shame in that game. That's going to go to waste.
Unless people are drinking out of the bottle, there's no shame in that.
And I will reiterate, they took pastries, the ones they wanted. They took them, they boxed them up, and they took a few to go. So it was more than they could handle. I was happy to assist.
Let me take
that a step further, though, Brody. You're in a hotel. You're walking down the hallway. You see that tray left out.
No, I've done it many times. I've seen the tray full of food.
French fries. French fries.
No French fries. Finger food. No finger food. No.
You wouldn't eat a floor fry?
A floor fry? You mean a put out in the hallway fry? A hallway fry?
A hall fry?
No, I've seen a
hallway floor fry, because those trays are on the floor in the hallway, and you're walking down the hallway, and then you see, okay, what about this? They have the mini bottles of glass Heinz ketchup.
Yeah, I've taken those.
You've taken them.
If the seal is on them,
the seal, right. But you wouldn't be like, huh, and then pop one of those Heinz ketchups open and then take a floor fry. And
no, just I'll tell you what I almost took, but I didn't.
Chicken finger.
No.
Damn.
No, your boy Ronnie does that at Mets games. He would walk around eating chicken fingers out of the cups, and people love their chicken fingers. I was at a game with him. I saw him do it. He's like,
I know people that drink beer off the fucking floor. If there's a cup of beer left, fuck that.
Yeah, fuck that. No, alcohol kills germs, people say. Yeah. Anyway, there was a bagel that was pre-wrapped, and it had cream cheese in it, but it was wrapped in saran wrap.
Okay.
And at first I was like, wait a minute. You can't close saran wrap perfectly the second time, which means it wasn't open, right? Because it's perfectly closed. Yeah. It's tightly wrapped. But then I thought, what if it was someone with like, it was a sick bastard and like injected it with something? You could inject a bagel and you'd never know. So then I didn't eat it. But I almost did, because it looked like you can't. But I'm going to propose something to the slices now, because we never talked about this. I teased it, and they hate when I tease something I don't mention. And then we'll get out of here because we got to wrap up. When I went to Scary's house, we ordered chicken fingers with biscuits and condiments, right? That's when Scary didn't order me ketchup. He ordered a fucking honey mustard and ranch. He knows I hate both of them.
Take it on down to Organicville.
Yeah, you missed that. Got to go listen to Slice Time for the last episode for 291. We did bring it on down to, Organicville ketchup. Anyway, we're packing the shirts, and, so I have to go put money in my meter. Or I have to go and use the app and make sure I don't get a ticket. Okay. Right? You can't just do it from your house. There's a 2-hour limit on the parking. So I had to go down, move the car like 2 inches, and then put, add time. So I had to go downstairs. Well, I had left like in the box that the food came in. Scary gave me a plate. I had the box empty and for maybe my leftovers. And I had the chicken fingers on a plate with my biscuit was half eaten. And some French fries on my plate. And I come back, and Scary has with his hands, taken my biscuit, my fries, and my chicken fingers, and put them into the tin foil, into the box.
I was consolidating.
So I said, dude, what are you doing? He goes, I wanted to wash the plates. So I go, wait a minute. Did you pick up my food with your hands? Yeah, why? They go, did you wash your hands? No, why? I said, you've been packing shirts from a warehouse for 2 hours with a magic marker. You're touching things in your apartment. You went to the bathroom to check the crack in your sink. I know you did that. You're manhandling my food. So my question is, Slices, would you eat the food? He picked up French fries individually.
Oh, please.
You fisted my fries.
Did you? At least they weren't floor fries.
But you fisted my fries.
Did you eat them?
I had to put them in the oven to kill the germs when I got home. Of course.
Okay, I see what you did.
So, Slices, would you eat Scary's fisted fries?
Fisted fries. Oof.
And his manhandled biscuit and the chicken wings, the chicken fingers. Dude, don't touch other people's food. That's wrong.
Yeah. All right. One final note as we get out of here. I'm very happy.
Leave us a talk back.
CBS did the right thing.
Oh, Billy Joel.
They're re-airing the Billy Joel concert.
Do you not know how Piano Man ends?
No, it was so that's it started the concert, the Billy Joel 100th anniversary concert, the 100th performance at Madison Square Garden. It was a special on CBS on Sunday night, and it was supposed to be from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. It ended up going starting a half hour late, and at 11:30 there was a hard cutoff. I was told it was an automatic switcher.
Was it 11:30? Because the news 11:30.
Okay. And in the middle of Piano Man, the song he's most known for, the fucking concert cuts to a local news tease. Coming up next on the news, it went from a hard cut. I hate saying these words. I hate saying these words, but do better. Come on, CBS. You know the fucking thing was late. Turn it into manual mode and have someone hand change that. Don't put in. Let the auto switcher take over.
Why are you saying it's manual mode's fault? Why are you picking on that
manual
guy?
Mode? Anyway, they're doing the right thing. Guess what? Billy wins because his whole crew. Now
major publicity for this.
Huge publicity, and now it's going to re-air again from this Friday night.
Redundant. Yeah,
it's going to air Friday night.
Yeah.
One more time.
Anyone who has Showtime, Paramount Plus rather, can go watch it at any moment on Paramount Plus. But they're going to air the whole thing. You know what I would have done if I was CBS? I would have re-aired the minute and a half that was cut off.
That would have been a douche move.
You're like, song, you're the Piano Man. And that's it. The
Voice. All right.
I love Billy Joel.
I'm going to Miami. Peace out.
Oh, fuck you.
The Voice from Brooklyn. Brooklyn. The Voice.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.